Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Operation Confidence Radio Talk Show, America's Invisible Heroes, with Consuela Mackey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Happy Valentine's Day and Black History Month. And thank you so much for tuning in to America's Invisible Heroes, a show dedicated to our veterans and their families. I'm your host, Consuela Mackey, Executive Director of a grassroots nonprofit organization for veterans called Operation Confidence. For those who may be new to the show, American Invisible Heroes strives to provide a platform for veterans to be able to share their experiences, heartfelt stories, resources, challenges, and accomplishments. Now, I would like to introduce you to my wonderful co-host, Air Force veteran and Operation Confidence board member, Matt Davison, followed by veterans and workplace host, U.S. veteran Navy Elizabeth Yeo, and our announcer, Leah Grandison. Good afternoon to you all.
Good afternoon, Connie, Elizabeth, Leah, and welcome to our veterans.
Good afternoon to you, Ms. Connie, Matt, Leah, and a shout out to all my lady vets out there.
Good afternoon to you, Ms. Connie, Matt, Elizabeth, and welcome LA Talk Radio listeners.
We are continuing to celebrate Black History Month all of February. So I'd like to welcome America's Invisible Heroes team member and board member, Air Force Reserve veteran Charles Whitehead, who will help us honor another Black American service member. Charles?
Thank you, Connie. It's Army Reserve, just to be clarified.
That's all right.
As we celebrate Black History Month and the bravery of our African American leaders, we are honored to highlight Captain Brianna Moses, a former graduate of Winston-Salem State University, class of 2015. Captain Moses was the first African American female cadet battalion commander of the No Fear ROTC battalion. She is now a captain serving as the S1, a human resources officer for the Regimental Engineer Squadron, 2nd Cavalry Regiment in Grafenwöhr, Germany. Thank you, Captain Moses, for your service and impact on both our country and the African-American culture and community. For enrollment and scholarship information pertaining to Army ROTC, please call or email Tony Bradley at area code 336-343-9566 or at bradleya@wfu.edu. That's Bradley, BRADLEAA, at WFU.edu.
Thank you.
And at this time, I would like to share some important information for veterans and non-vets alike. This is about the Tenant Relief Act. It took place August 2020 and provides relief and assistance for tenants and landlords who are struggling financially due to the pandemic. Has received also the extension that exceeds protections until June 30th, 2021, and has created a new state rental assistance program. There will be $2.6 billion in federal rental assistance available statewide. This program also has strong incentives for landlords and tenants to mutually participate in obtaining assistance. As significant financial COVID protections for tenants and strong legal COVID-19 protection for tenants. It prohibits the landlords from recovering, demonstrates a good faith effort to cooperate with a tenant who qualifies for the rental assistance program. Now, for more information and for assistance in taking advantage of the Tenant Relief Act, you can call 833-422-4255. And this will be for resources and more information. That's 833-422-4255.
Thank you so much, Matt, for that great information. Now, Leah, please introduce us to our first guest speaker.
You've got it, Connie. Our first guest is Dorsey Dujon, founder of Music Make Music Los Angeles, a nonprofit 501c3 organization dedicated to creating educational, cultural, and family-inclusive events for all of Los Angeles County annually on June 21st and throughout the year. Dorsey is an arts advocate dedicated to engaging and transforming communities of Los Angeles through shared cultural experiences of the visual and performing arts to ensure all children and their families have an opportunity to participate in ongoing music and art programs to stimulate lifelong learning and creative invention. As a volunteer for Silver Lake Neighborhood Council, Dorsey created a kite festival and brought up professional kite flyers to demonstrate and teach art of the art of kite flying. Kids Fly LA. In addition, she presented concerts in the park with music ranging from jazz, classical, folkloric, Zendeco, and hip hop. Throughout her career as a trade show producer and exposition manager, Dorsey was active on several advisory boards, St. Basil's in Chicago, Hands Across Walks, and the International Association for Exhibition Management, for which Dorsey became a certified exposition manager. Dorsey formed a consulting firm, Dorsey Dujon and Associates, with clients, the American Dental Association, National Exhibition Center, Birmingham, England, and the British Tourist Authority. Thank you for being here, Ms. Dorsey.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and happy Valentine's Day to everyone.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's to you.
Dorsey.
Thank you. Hi. Good afternoon, Matt.
Please share with our listeners about your Make Music Los Angeles program.
Well, Make Music Los Angeles is actually part of an international music festival, and it was started in France in 1982. And what we do here, it happens on an international level in 120 countries and about 1,200 cities around the world on June 21st. So what we're doing is nurturing and celebrating music and the arts.
Hey, how long has Make Music LA been around LA, and also how many events have your organization have given in the community, Dorsey?
Well, we're going into our 11th year now, and I think over all those years, we've probably nurtured more than 1,000 events. You know, we don't actually produce each one of them. The joy of Make Music is that we invite the public to come out and share music. And so that's how it happens. And so there have actually probably been even more than 1,000 events.
Mm-hmm. Dorsey, can you share some resources that Make Music LA have come across lately that our veteran listeners can know about or should know about?
Well, in particularly if they are artists and musicians, there are several organizations that here in the Los Angeles area, you can start with the LA County Arts Department and their lacountyarts.org. And then we have the Department of Cultural Affairs, which is culturela.org. And on a national level, the NEA, the National Endowment for the Arts, is very helpful. And that address is arts.gov. The reason I stress the arts so much is that sometimes, you know, the artists and musicians are forgotten, and these organizations deal directly with artists. And so you'll find a great many resources on their websites as well. If you're interested in a grant for a project, or if you are food or shelter challenged, these organizations do have links to other organizations that can be very helpful. So it's not always about the performance, but we have to keep our performers well fed and protected. So these organizations can help with that.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very interesting.
Darcy, now that we're dealing with COVID-19, how has that impacted your program, number one? And number two, are you hosting any virtual events?
Yes, we actually will be coming up for June 21st. And Make Music LA is a part, as I said, of a much broader organization, and it's Make Music Day. And on June 21st, as I said, we've got our chapters all across the country that participate. And so in the discussions and what took place last year, we've then just sort of reemphasized some of the things that we can do in terms of virtual and also to play other instruments and do something a little different. We've got projects that are, one is called Bash the Trash, where you can take literally the trash and form percussion or string or wind instruments. You can make them by hand yourself. And this is also very helpful for the environment, where we can take something that we're throwing away and reuse it, recycle it, make it something that you can have fun with and the kids can get involved in making it. Then we've got another project that's called Bedroom Studios. Bedroom Studios comes from what we've done in the past for the past 6 years, which we've had street studios. And what that means is we have a music producer who sits there with his turntable and all of his equipment. And he actually, they'll talk to people who are passing by and they'll stop and they'll say, well, yeah, I can rap and I want to rap. And they'll just put some music together right there on the street. They'll record it. And the passerby has something in their hand that they can take with them that shows what they've done. Well, because we're all going to be indoors for the most part, we have bedroom studios. And that's something where the producer is in his room and he's got his turntable. He's still doing it, but he's now taking music that's sent to him from people who are watching. So they'll send a little clip of music and then he'll put it together. So, and we're doing a global live stream, and we've got something that's called Window Serenades. And in Italy, at the early part of the pandemic, people came out, of their windows, and they were singing to people in the street. Well, we've taken it a step further, and we're putting together these serenades where if you have perhaps elderly folks who are in a nursing facility, then we can outside their window, and it's, of course, at a safe distance, and the people don't have to come outdoors, but there can be music outside of the window, and so we can take that to people who are perhaps challenged with being able to come outdoors. And I mean, that's a great thing. And there are other projects similar to that that we're doing. And of course, live streaming from home and encouraging musicians to write new music for this event. And also, there's one I think that's so adorable. It's called World's Smallest Marching Band. And that is we ask folks to, take your horn out just by yourself and march and play those SZA songs and, be outside a workplace or walk through a park and just play. So with that, we are also connecting with musicians in different parts of the world and having collaborative music done between a group in Sweden, for example, and one that's here in Los Angeles. So, we've had to pivot, we've had to adapt. There's absolutely nothing like hearing live music. But we have to improvise and do the very best we can. And I think the fact that we have a platform such as this, being able to talk to one another, see one another, gives us even a, more of an opportunity to take that creative, you know, vibe that we have and create something totally different, including, you know, having poets with, you know, poetry and various types of, music to anything.
Yeah, well, you've shared a lot of wonderful information, and I know that you're going to come back next month with you and your colleague, Brian, I believe his name.
Brian Sonia Wallace.
Yeah, and you're going to have something called Poets for Veterans, or Poets with Veterans. Poetry with Veterans. So that's going to be wonderful.
But
I'm quite sure Music LA, Make Music LA has a lot of programs that veterans are involved in too as well, right?
And would love them to be able to come on to our website. We'll be up and running in terms of registration for June 21st, probably the end of March, the early part of April. So if you want to play an instrument and be a part of Make Music Day, you don't have to worry about, you know, social distancing. You can do it from home. And
Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm sorry we have to move on. We do have other guests, but you're going to come back and be able to elaborate on what Make Music LA is doing next month.
Thanks so much, Ken.
My pleasure. Leah, would you please honor us by introducing our next guest?
You've got it, Connie. Our next guest is Miss Robin Thorne. Robin is the founder of CTI and serves as the chief executive officer. She has over 15 years of experience in the area of regulatory compliance. Her emphasis has been written plan development, audits and assessments, emergency planning, hazardous materials management, and training. Robin's interest and experience in environmental issues has provided her with the skills to serve as a commissioner with the City of Long Beach's Sustainable City Commission. As a general contractor, Robin's desire to grow has provided her the opportunity to expand into construction management, providing resources in the areas of project controls, scheduling, engineering and utility design, and utility design and relocation, and various trade disciplines. We're so excited to have you here today, Robin. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Ms. Thorne, can you share how you established CIT, and are there any veterans employed by your company?
Well, CTI Environmental is an interesting story because it was formed out of a necessity. At the time, we saw a void in government contracting where minority and women-owned firms weren't being represented. But one of the barriers to entry was coming, you know, a startup company being able to land government contracting. So we came up with this brilliant idea that I would form a partnership with an existing company. So we would be a startup company with 20 years experience. And so that's how CTI was launched. And I have to admit that we were very limited in our vision because we were focused on one project. But I'm happy to say that 12 years later, and we're still here executing on projects. So we've moved way beyond that limited vision. And we've completed several, multiple jobs for several clients in various industries. And I thought about this, and as of today, we do not have any veteran employees. However, we do contract with veteran-owned companies, and I'm happy to share that.
Thank you.
Hey, that sounds wonderful. Well, you know what Operation Confidence's major goal is to have housing development for our veterans, and we hope to have CTI totally involved in that project. We're getting there. The coronavirus put us at a dead standstill for a minute, but we're still working behind the scenes, and we would love to have your leadership and involvement in some way.
Well, that sounds like a great opportunity for us. And another thing I want to share, as a general contractor, we're an A-licensed contractor. When people hear general contracting, they think of building up. But we tear things down, actually. They go up, right? Because they're not granting us more land. And so that's what we do. Demolition, lead and asbestos abatement, contaminated soil. So we clean the environment so that the bee license contractors can further develop. However, with that license, we can build a bridge.
Okay, girlfriend. I love that. And you're able to work throughout Los Angeles, California, and primarily through throughout California, right?
Right. That's where we're focused. However, we do have a government certification, which opens the door for us to work on military bases. We've done some federal contracting as well, but we primarily focus on Southern California.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm going to share more information with you later. But I just want to know, I remember when you first started, please tell our audience about the Demo Chicks program.
Oh, so excited. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. After we demolished a federal prison in 2018, I had this idea because what I saw was opportunities to introduce people to an industry. People think about construction, but no one thinks about the demolition industry, especially not our girls. And on that project, we were paying general laborers $42 an hour. So these are people without college educations making a decent living. And so we launched this organization, Demo Chicks, where we empower, enlighten, and elevate our girls. And one of our slogans is, we knock things down to build you up. And through that program, we introduce girls to non-traditional careers, whether it's in construction, STEM, because I'm a chemical engineer, so the engineering side. So these are careers that our girls may not have considered. And during a pandemic, we had this vision, we were going to do pop-ups at malls, you know, go into the classrooms. But because of the pandemic, we've had to go virtual. But I'm happy to share that we've hosted monthly virtual workshops the last Thursday of every month. And we actually have the girls on the workshops doing experiments, which is really exciting. They're engaged. So we send them a list of the supplies that they need. And some of them are household items, or mom or dad may have to make a trip to the store, but we're able to lead them in workshops and experiments online.
That is so great. I think that's just wonderful. I know a lot. And how many girls are involved right now?
We average about 15 on the call.
Okay, and that is another, so great.
Another thing that I'm doing now is targeting groups. Like in March, we're going to present at a Delta workshop. They have a program called GEM. So we're looking at pre-existing groups that we can talk to or present mm-hmm. to.
Would it be similar to the Demo Chicks?
Well, it would be GEM. So we have Demo Chicks online. So instead of them coming to us, we would go to them online.
Oh, I got
you. They wouldn't be limited to that last Thursday. So for the GEMS event, it's on a Saturday. So whatever our experiment is, we'll be their programming for that month.
Okay, that sounds so exciting. Well, you have to come back and have some of your successful graduates from your Demo Chicks program to be our guests as well. Can you do that anytime soon within the next few months?
Absolutely.
I would love that.
DemoChicks.com. That's DemoChicks.com.
Yeah, repeat that for us a little slower and how to get in touch with you as well.
Okay, it's old school, www, just have to say that. DemoChicks.com. And that's right. Our website. We're on IG as well as Facebook. And you can reach me, 562-608-8401. That's my office number.
Repeat that for us.
562-608-8401.
Thank you so much, Robin, for coming on. We're so excited to have you on and share what you're doing out there as a woman on African-American woman-owned business, and we're so proud of you being a leader, and those young ladies will be able to follow your leadership and become successful as well. And I look forward to having you back on the show, and thank you again.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Leah, would you please introduce our next guest and segment?
Sure, Connie. Our next segment, Veterans in the Workplace, will be hosted by our very own U.S. Navy veteran, Elizabeth Yeo. Take it away, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you, Ms. Connie, and to the Operation Confidence team for the wonderful honor in joining you all today. I'd also like to say thank you to our fabulous guests, Ms. Dorsey and Ms. Robin. Thank you for sharing about yourselves and what you do and who you service. It's wonderful to hear about your organizations also. And good afternoon to all my fellow veterans and the wonderful LA Talk Radio listeners. Happy Valentine's Day. Today's segment is actually about a hot topic, if you will, diversity and inclusion in the workplace. And I really wanted to dive into this because a lot of people kind of group the two as one. If you ask different people, you might get a bunch of different answers, right? So I wanted to just discuss it from a veteran perspective. What is diversity? What is inclusion? Because many companies and organizations are using this term post-2020 and starting to formulate policies and procedures surrounding this topic. But again, what does that mean? So for our listeners and for all of our team here on the call today, I'm sure we have experienced our own diversity or lack thereof in maybe many different jobs, positions, organizations, or experiences that we've had personally. But diversity from my perspective as a veteran encompasses more than just race, gender, sexual orientation, age, and other classes that are protected under federal laws. Diversity is about individuals contributing their unique experiences, backgrounds, and ideas. So we have to consider the spectrum of skills, experiences, and perspectives that veterans can bring to the workplace because we do have a deep understanding of what teamwork is, what leadership is. We value a very strong work ethic. We know how to solve complex problems and adapt quickly to ever-changing circumstances and situations. Sometimes we work with multiple resources, and sometimes we have no resources at all. So we have worked with cutting-edge technology and are also very comfortable in cross-functional environments, not just focused in on our particular job. So many veterans bring international experience to the workplace, which is increasingly important in the global economy of our 21st century. So while most organizations may be aware of the competitive advantages of a diverse and inclusive workplace, many are not really prepared to successfully attract, hire, and retain veterans. So the Society of Human Resource Management, otherwise known as SHRM, S-H-R-M, they conducted a panel a couple of years ago, and it's very, very relative even to today in 2021. And the panelists shared where veterans are very often misunderstood by potential employers. Most, I would say, by my own experience, may assume, for example, that PTSD is a very common among service members. So educating and training managers on cultural competency, unconscious biases, and diversity and inclusion can help address some of these misperceptions that, left unchecked, can really interfere in the recruiting and hiring process for an organization. So while it's clear that veterans have much to offer organizations, it requires planning and it requires targeted programs to successfully tap into the diverse talent pool of service members. So these include recruiting, onboarding, career development activities, and most importantly, supportive services that are aimed at veterans, because we have a very different background, or most times in a transition that is not very like our civilian counterparts. So on-the-job training, internships, mentorships, and other resources that are tailored to veterans can also help ensure that smoother transition as they're coming back into the civilian workforce. So diversity inclusion, it really starts from the top down, because at the top, those are the managers, decision makers, people in charge who are setting the tone and the pace for the company and or organization. So how can managers start? Diversity training. Diversity training is a great start and becoming increasingly more important post the recent events and protests against racism that took place throughout 2020. Again, diversity and inclusion does not just refer to race, right? And when you have a diverse workforce, that doesn't necessarily mean you're including them. So you might be able to hire and have a slew of different cultures that are on your payroll, but are any of them sitting at the table with the decision makers? Are the voices being heard from those diverse employees that you have on your team. So, like I said, 2020, it sparked global conversations about what organizations can and need to do to address the lack of diversity and inclusion in the workplace. So we all know a lack of diversity in the workplace can have negative consequences across an organization, and it increases the risk of harassment, being a barrier to recruitment and retention, and more importantly, it will definitely affect your bottom line. So diversity training is one of the essential steps organizations can take to foster a more open, welcoming culture, and advancing diversity and inclusion initiatives absolutely creates positive change. So on that note, I would like to share two programs that are tailored for our veteran leaders that can help in not only establishing, but maybe enhancing true diversity and inclusion in the workplace. And these two programs I'd like to speak to specifically because I have myself gone through each one of them and can speak to the validity and how very helpful in enhancing these programs have been in terms of helping me be that voice of change to make diversity and inclusiveness happen in the workplace. So one is called the Service Leadership Core Program. And this is, again, brought to you by The Mission Continues. This Leadership Core Program is an opportunity for veterans to not only expand their network, but maximize their skills to drive efforts specific to their local communities. And getting involved with your local community is a huge thing, not only for your employees, but you as a manager, as a business owner. You need to know and be able to connect with the community that you are trying to serve. You don't know your community, you cannot possibly service them in the way that they need to be serviced. So the core members through this program work individually and in small groups, learning about the very real and current challenges our country is facing in communities nationwide, not just in an from an organizational viewpoint. And we also learn how to activate other local veterans and community members so that we serve together to accomplish a common goal. The other program that they have that is fabulous, and I'm actually going through it right now, is the Women Veterans Leadership Program. Like Ms. Robin spoke to, I'm so impressed and so happy that you are tapping into women coming into what we normally think of as a very male-dominated industry. Okay, construction on the whole is always thought of with men first, but a lot of women are breaking these barriers, and we are coming into these spaces as leaders. So the Women Veteran Leadership Program changes the narrative on what it means to be a woman veteran by leveraging their leadership skills and authentic selves to become change makers, all while enhancing their personal and professional networks. So it really is a one-of-a-kind program. There's several cohorts that have happened and are continuing to be created. People through this program make lifelong friends, lasting connections, business partnerships. And this program absolutely helps you feel empowered to lead the charge for diversity and inclusion in the not only in the workplace, but in the communities that we live in and serve. So with that said, I'd love to encourage everyone to take a look at The Mission Continues. The programs are brought to veterans free of charge due to the partnerships that they have and the wonderful companies that are supporting us and being able to leverage our skills as leaders in the workplace. So I really thank you, Ms. Connie. I thank Operation Confidence for allowing veterans to have this platform to share this information and to give a voice to those who otherwise might be invisible. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Elizabeth, you're going to have representatives from Mission say the name of the organization again. Continue. Mission Continues to come onto the show, right?
It's The Mission Continues. Yeah. And we're in talks about that. So I'll keep you posted and looking forward to that actually taking place.
And real quick, would you tell our listeners about your panel, this discussion panel that's coming on next month?
Yes. As a member of the Women Veterans California Leadership Council, we will be coming together as a council, having a panel discussion right on this topic. We're going to really speak to the inclusiveness and diversity where it comes to the women veterans and how California veterans, women veterans are can take the lead and take charge to really help bring that together.
That should be a great panel. Thank you so much.
Take it away, Matt.
Okay. Today we have a very special treat for Veterans Day. Ms. Carol Siegel has returned with her monthly segment, Carol's Corner. Today, Carol will share how one very special veteran received hundreds of Valentines for the impact he made on our country. Take it away, Carol.
Thank you, Matt. I'm reporting today about a happening last year on Valentine's Day to Major Bill White. He was 104 years old, a U.S. Marine veteran who earned a Purple Heart in World War II. He remained every inch the Marine that he was. He had seen combat, but he had never seen so many Valentines. Every day for weeks, Valentine's cards and gifts had been arriving by the truckload where he lived at the Oaks Assisted Living Center. They were all addressed to White. It began simply enough when staff at the Oaks and White's daughter, Mary, made a small request on social media called Operation Valentine, asking friends and strangers to send greetings to honor White. She said they were just hoping her father would get 104 Valentines. In the beginning, the goal was a modest 100 cards, about one for every one of his birthdays, but the response ended up outstripping all expectations. "It's just too fantastic," White said, as he was surrounded by waist-high stacks of postal boxes filled with cards. A week before Valentine's Day, at least 70,000 pieces of correspondence had arrived from people in every U.S. state and even several foreign countries. White's 9-year-old great-granddaughter, Abigail Sawyer, delivered a bundle of cards from her fourth grade class, many of them decorated with the American flag. So much mail had been delivered that White's family had to enlist volunteers to help open the cards and read the warm wishes to White, who had retired about 35 years of active service, including time in the Pacific Theater of World War II, when he was wounded at Iwo Jima. The last account somebody ever gave me was 140,000 different pieces, White said. Almost every surface at the Assisted Living Center was covered with Valentines. They came from school children, veterans, and families that knew the sacrifice of his service. For those who sent Valentines, White represented something bigger than himself. Many of them conveyed a deep appreciation, not only to White for his service, but to all veterans who died too soon to hear their gratitude. A woman identified only as Jane told White that her late grandfather also fought in World War II as a U.S. Army paratrooper. She said had he lived, he would have been turning 100 years old this year. This happened to have been last year on Valentine's Day, of course. "I miss him so much," she wrote, "that by my sending you this card, I feel as though I am sending my grandfather a card." One short Valentine said, "You've stolen the hearts of America. Perhaps never before has Valentine's Day brought any one person more affection." White commented, "It's just been beyond my feeble powers of comprehension. All of a sudden here, like a ton of bricks, and I'm just sort of speechless." And that's how he celebrated Valentine's Day. Oh, and I want to say happy Valentine's Day to all of you and all of you veterans today that I can't see.
Oh, thank you, Carol. That's so sweet. Leah?
Yes, thank you so much, Carol. It's so nice to hear your voice. It's been a while since we've had you on. Now it's time to hand it back over to Matt so that he can help us acknowledge a special American Invisible Hero.
Today, I would like to make tribute to the only U.S. military woman killed in action in Vietnam. Although seven other American female military nurses died while serving in Vietnam, Sharon Ann Lane was the only U.S. servicewoman killed with a direct result of enemy fire during the war. On June 8, 1969, the 312th Evacuation Hospital was struck by a salvo of rockets fired by a Viet Cong. One rocket struck between wards 4A and 4B, killing two other Americans and wounding 27. Lane died instantly of fragmentation wounds to the chest. She was just 25 years old, and she was buried with full military honors in Canton, Ohio. Although nursing in Ward 4 was challenging, Lane repeatedly declined transfer to another ward. She also volunteered to care for the most critically wounded GIs in the surgical ICU. Posthumously, Lane was awarded a Purple Heart, a Bronze Star with the V device, and the South Vietnamese Cross of Gallantry with Palm. And it's my honor to honor her through this tribute.
Oh, thank you.
So beautiful, Matt. Right. Mm-hmm. Now to you, Charles, for some hot new veteran news.
Before I get to that veteran news, I'd like to tell you, Dorsey, me and my band, Per Se, we played over at the Make Music LA at the Celebrity Center in Hollywood. You know, thank you for presenting that. And, you know, I worked with you at a festival in LA somewhere. But anyway, just wanted to throw that at you. Now, as told here, this is a hot news corner here. Veterans who are 65 years or older, vaccine clinics will be open at the West LA and Sepulveda VA on Monday, February 15th, 2021, of course. The veterans may call the appointment line at 310-268-4900 to be guaranteed a time slot. You must call. West LA also accommodates walk-ins on Mondays. Veterans should plan on arriving before 11 a.m. to be assured a vaccine will be given. Remember this, it's for VA healthcare eligible veterans 65 years or older. And the number there to call is 310-268-3132. Again, it's 310-268-3132. Get your vaccine. 65 years older, you're a veteran. West LA.
Charles, can you repeat that first number you gave out, the 310 number?
That's 310-268-3132. One more time. 310-268-3132.
You gave another number out earlier for an appointment line. Can you give that again, please?
Sure. Oh, that's 310-268-4900. And that's the call appointment line to be guaranteed a time slot. This other phone number is the office number. So 310-268-4900 to be guaranteed a time slot. 310-268-3132 is the office number. Thank you much.
All right. Thank you, Charles. I know that we're getting ready to, we're winding down. Before Ms. Connie closes, I would love to remind our listeners about the amazing advertisement rates that we have. We have a 10-second advertisement slot for $50 and a 30-second slot for $100 for anyone interested in the veteran community or businesses that support veterans or looking to hire veterans, or if you are a veteran that has a small business, please contact us at info@operationconfidence.org. That's info@operationconfidence.org. We, you know, this is a show for vets, and you know, it's really important that you guys have this platform to, you know, represent your businesses or get veterans involved in the community outreach. Back to you, Connie.
Yeah, Leah, last week you had some really informative information. Would you have a few of those little bits and tips that you had last week?
I can look for some fun facts as you right after your part, and I'll share them with us before we go.
Yeah, please. There was some great what you call it, fun facts.
Yeah,
I love
Black History Month fun facts. But yeah, so I'll have to do some Googling real quick while you're.
Okay, do that, please. And as always, we want to remind our listeners about the ultimate goal for Operation Confidence and for this show is to raise awareness about our mission, which is to provide stable housing with a wide range of supportive services, including employment opportunities for veterans, for disabled veterans, and those who may have experienced homelessness. So if you want to get involved with this grassroots nonprofit organization's outreach, please send us an email to info@operationconfidence.org. Once again, info@operationconfidence.org. Now, we have a few components in place, such as we have a world-renowned architect who's offered to design houses for us, and that's Mr. Norberto. He's going to be coming on the show, hopefully, maybe next month if he ever gets a bit of time. He's really, really busy, but he's offered to design these amazing houses. And then, ironically, Operation Confidence donated land by an amazing woman in the San Bernardino community who owned multiple pieces of land. That's Ms. Saison. So we're on our way, but of course we need people such as yourself to help us put that infrastructure together. So we want you to get involved. And once again, if you want to get involved, contact us at info@operationconfidence.org. Do you have something real quick there?
One little tidbit. I hope I didn't share this one last week, but I found that there are 24% of the 500,000 U.S. military personnel deployed to the Middle East during the Persian Gulf War were African American. 24% of the 500,000 deployed to the Middle East during the Persian Gulf War were African American.
That's so amazing. Well, we want to keep with our wonderful host that we had today and our guests. We want to thank you so much. And we'll be back next week. And Lizzie, do you have anything you want to close with and tell our audience about? You've given some amazing information.
Yes. Stay tuned for our panel that's coming up. And honestly, if you have any stories to share or actual success stories of how you have successfully included diversity and inclusion into your work organization, we would love to hear about that. So please write us at info@operation.org. Thank you so much. Operationconfidence.org. Thank you.
Thank you. See you guys next week. At the same time, and to our wonderful, wonderful guests today, we thank you so much for coming on the show and enlightening our listeners. And of course, our hosts, we always thank you as well. And want to tell everybody to be back next week. And thank you. Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Stay safe.
You're listening to Operation Confidence Radio Talk Show, America's Invisible Heroes, with Consuela Mackey, only on LA Talk Radio.